Hey everyone, before we kick off this week's episode, I'm going to quickly talk to you about StubForge. Remember the heady days when you'd buy tickets to gigs, you'd wait for them to come in the post, you'd get so excited when they arrive, and they'd actually be a physical, tangible thing you could hold and you could keep afterwards. I used to collect all my tickets and proudly stick them to the back of my teenage bedroom door. All those memories of great nights and also like showing off who you've seen. I miss those days, I miss the past. It's all now digital, and although technology is great, you don't get that same memento. But with StubForge, you can print custom replica ticket stubs that look and feel just like the real thing. Whether it's adding to your memory box or gifting tickets without having to give like a crappy printed email or a QR code, to having the most personal and expressive wedding or party invitations out there, StubForge.com is where you need to head. So the name again is StubForge. The website again is StubForge.com. Go there now and print off some lovely physical ticket replicas right now and pretend it's the 90s again, for God's sake. Okay, on with the show. Have you been watching Traitors?
Yeah, of course I've been watching Traitors, mate. I'm trying to desperately catch up because the pub down the road is doing a watch-along for the finale. So I'm trying to catch
up.
I've got two episodes left to do. Yeah.
I've started to have to go back into the office, and my first day in the office, spoilers.
Oh,
I forgot that was a thing.
Oh.
I'm obviously not going to say them, but that I found out something before I'd even started watching it, and then I had to watch it.
Oh, no.
Anyway, no tangents though. None of those.
What even is this show or movie or book?
Oh, it's got
podcast?
A cracking cover of Losing My Religion that you'd absolutely love, Lucas.
You'd love that.
You'd love it. It's absolutely
Lucas bait. I've heard that
Lucas
and I didn't
bait.
Like it.
It's absolutely.
I've
Lucas
heard that
bait.
And I didn't like it. But what is this? What's it called again?
It's a game show hosted by the Winklevoss twins, and it's basically. It's basically Secret Hitler, isn't it? Is it not just Secret Hitler with extra
100%.
Steps? 100%. Yeah. It's with Secret Hitler with a bit of Fear Factor mixed in, because they have to do like challenges and stuff. Do you remember Fear Factor? Hosted by Joe Rogan.
And this actually is a show that people are all hyping and talking about in an office. And stuff.
Yeah. To be fair, it's absolutely great TV, because humans, it turns out, fall into two categories. Yep. Bastards or stupid. Yep. And there's no in between. Everyone's a bastard or stupid. Which one are you? Tag yourself.
I'm a stupid bastard, so.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know, when watching it, do you know who is a fascist and who is a liberal and who is Hitler?
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
there is no Hitler. Traitors and faithfuls, and they have to murder faithfuls. And then once every day, they get to banish someone as well. And it's
How do you get spoilers if you know, I guess, who got banished? Like,
who got banished?
Who got voted off the island?
Twists and turns.
And there's, you know, they chuck in some extra mechanics in there. Like, you know, there's one where they have to murder in plain sight.
Do they need to come in, like fix cars, or what do they do? Do they come in with a wrench and some blue overalls?
Steve Mechanics, if you're looking confused. I said they chuck in some extra mechanics in there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No,
a man walks in like overalls.
Do you know what
I
did?
He's holding a wrench.
He's
got oil stains on him.
Yeah, we got it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep going though, please.
He's bald.
He's bald.
Can I tell you why I look so like blank then? Yeah. I was just listening to you guys talk as if I was like, oh, I'm listening to an episode of the podcast. This is great.
Shit in it, actually. So should we just
do the thing
with it?
Should we do it?
Hello,
today.
Welcome to What Is Music, a music podcast about music. We are a podcast that focuses on discographies in their entirety, doing deep dives on one artist at a time. You join us for season 6, which is called Are We Enjoying This? A critical analysis of the history, cultural impact and music of REM. We're going through their entire career, album by album, track by track, asking questions like, does context matter when you're listening to music? Does knowing the history of an artist affect your appreciation of their output? And this season, we are, of course, asking, are we enjoying this? And to be clear, we're asking, are we enjoying this in regards to the band REM, not are we enjoying this in regards to this, the 6th season of our podcast, which is called Are We Enjoying This? And which you may or may not be enjoying. I'm Adam Scott Glasspool. I'm a big music nerd. big fan of REM. With me, as always, two of my very closest friends, some big mates, if you will. The first is someone who's not a huge music fan, is maybe the least knowledgeable on music in general out of the three of us, and is just kind of learning through this podcast how to apply critical thought onto why he likes or dislikes something and whether or not that means it's good. It's Lucas Way.
That's me. I'm not the imposter.
Yes.
It's a bit like Among Us as well, actually. Yeah.
We also have someone who is between those two places, coming to terms with critical analysis, coming to terms with context, coming to terms with the terrible things he's done. It's Steve Murphy.
I'm a sussy backer who is venting too electrical.
Very cringe. Welcome back to the podcast.
In that thing that's funny to make Nigel Farage say, a backer? I know what's sussy. Obviously, sussy is to be sus. Cringe is cringe. Venting to electrical is self-explanatory if you've played the game. What's a backer?
It's a Japanese word that means crazy, foolish, or downright stupid. It can be used as a noun for a fool or a crazy or stupid person.
Okay.
There you go.
Asked and answered.
And what's Basildon got to do with it?
Not really sure.
That's where they're from.
Yeah. On this podcast, we're exploring the entire discography of REM. In the last couple of episodes, we reviewed their fifth album, Document. And this week, we're going to provide audio commentary for the first official REM video release. Do you guys have any conception of this or what this is, what it's made up of, how it came about?
I reckon it's at least 49 minutes and 10 seconds long.
It is the official listing is 49 minutes. So that's
I reckon it at least starts in black and white.
Okay. Well, that's just the logo, isn't it?
And so
it's not wrong, but it's just the logo.
That's what I've got for you.
You said it was their music video. What? Oh. So it's not a gig.
It's not a gig. No. It's just their first official video release. They released this. I mean, it's kind of similar to Dead Letter Office, except that was an audio thing, and this is a visual thing. So
they've got a load of shit left over?
No, I guess, actually, ignore that it's similar. No, it is similar to Dead Letter Office. Ignore that it's similar to Dead Letter Office, right?
Okay,
But it's kind of similar to Dead Letter Office in that Life's Rich Pageant was very successful, yeah? IRS Records just wanted to put stuff out to sort of capitalise on that. Do you remember that? Like, Life's Rich Pageant sold a bunch of copies, so they went, right, let's get Dead Letter Office out there.
Let's
also get a video out there. And it's a collection, basically, it's mostly official music videos from the time that we've been covering.
So, this is odd, because we're obviously going to do the music videos at the end, and we're sort of just preempting that by doing a bit of it.
It's up to you. We can do them again or we can skip them when we get to them. It's up to you.
Oh, no, you've got to do them again. We have to be thorough when we do the music videos.
We do.
This is part of the context, isn't it? On the way.
And also, it's nice to watch them grow up, isn't it? It's nice to watch the, you know, young to old over the course of
100%.
Hours.
But that's not all that is on this video. There's other bits and pieces that have been shot by Michael Stipe. And it also features that thing that we've already talked about, which I'll mention when we get there, and it's all kind of just packed onto one VHS tape, I think is the copy that we're watching on YouTube. I think it was also available on Laserdisc.
And
quite possibly
edge.
Betamax.
Oh my god, there you go.
That's what Steve is.
I'm a Max Beta.
Yeah, Betamax. Yeah, lovely. Yeah. It kind of spans from 1983 to 1986, so from Murmur to Life's Rich Pageant, and it was put together before Document, but released just after, so it doesn't feature anything from Document. Came out in October 1987, just to place us in time. That's less than 2 months after Document. So it means that between between July 1986 and October 1987, REM released Life's Rich Pageant, Dead Letter Office, Document, and this video. that's all in the space of what is that a year and 3 months, a year and 3 months.
A whole lot of REM, isn't it?
It's called Succumbs. So we can just get on and play it. I mean, for people who want to watch along, there'll be a link in the show notes to this YouTube video that has been brilliantly sourced and uploaded by Meet Row? Mutro?
Mount Row.
Okay, cool. So yeah, everyone, I guess, flood that account with some views. And if you don't want to watch along with us because you're on the bus or something, or I don't know what you're doing, working on an oil rig,
then fuck off.
No, don't listen to this. No, you can. It works just fine. We'll
kiss me.
No, don't listen to Steve either. It'll just be vaguely fine. We'll kind of describe what's going on, and it'll be
listen
mostly
to what
tangential
is music. It's
either way.
Vaguely fine.
It's vaguely fine. It doesn't matter. Here
it
we
works
go.
Either way.
Ready?
Yeah. Or not.
3, 2, 1, play. Oh. IRS presents. That's the
wait. Video. No, wait. For some reason, I was at 9 seconds when I hit play.
Okay.
Who's that on
wait,
the right?
Easy. I'm just going to pause.
This is Peter Buck and Jefferson Holt, okay. Welcoming people of the future who have discovered this outdated format called the video.
Well, that's very interesting, isn't it? Because that's literally what we're doing.
Yeah.
But we're not, because we're not watching it on a video cassette.
Exactly, which is even, yeah, because it's outdated.
They compare it to other outdated fads, like the Nehru jacket and stuff like that. They say, do you remember these? Us neither.
That's the Murmur place, isn't it?
I think it's the same weed. Oh, guys, I hope you love Radio Free Europe.
Oh, my God. Oh, wait, how many times are we going to
hear it? Oh, my God, are we going to finally see how the doll gets out the box?
Not really. Anyway.
No? Oh, okay. Because Bill Berry's gone up to a man. There's the box, see?
Oh, okay, yeah, maybe he is giving it to the man. Maybe that's the story of the music video. I mean, It's a pretty rough and ready sort of presentation, isn't it? I would say.
A load of bike cogs, is that what you're seeing?
Yeah.
And Bill Berry, is that Bill Berry?
Yeah, in a bolo tie, right?
Or it might be Peter Buck, is working his way through them.
It's a load of bikes, that's what it is.
It's a load
it's
of bikes.
Cool.
It's a load of old bikes, actually.
It's a load of old fucking bikes, mate.
What a load of old bikes.
What is music? What a load of old bikes.
Where is this? What is this bike pile? I don't think this was made for the video.
Bike World.
No, of course not. This is
some
this
kind
is
of
like,
bike place.
It's that. I think it's a sculpture garden that they like love. Was it owned by? It might not have been owned by Howard Finster, but it was owned by a local artist who worked with REM quite a bit and was like an outsider artist that Michael Stipe really liked. So some of the videos just sort of them walking around his garden. Yeah, there's Peter Buck. In the
Look
lanky.
At those boots.
Oh, the boots on Bill Berry, actually. They're quite
the boots
good.
The boots on Bill Berry. The boots on Bill Berry.
Bill Berry's
boots.
Can one of you just give me a little time check?
Snakes.
2:35.
That's why. That was my time check with snakes.
Has that helped, Lucas? I feel like
you can tell that this is not really like
good.
A typical music video, right? This is very, very homemade.
I remember you telling us very early on in the season about this, how they just didn't want to do it. So they were like, "Oh, didn't they submit this and go, huh? How about
Let's
this?
Just go for a walk went, around a local nah. place and just yeah. film it a bit." With nothing yeah. interesting or inciting
Don't,
happening.
Are you kidding me? He's bringing a little doll, spoilers.
Hey, that's the back of Stipe, who now has the box, it seems. And there's a picture of, I thought it was Mike Mills to begin with.
Oh. Oh, really?
Speak of the devil. There he is. And then there's a little, this is like Lord of the Rings. This is like a forced perspective thing.
What? What's the narrative here? Is that the man?
He's an official man who's given a very important box to Bill Berry, who passed it on to Peter Buck, who passed it on to Michael Stipe, who walked past Mike Mills, who remembered being in the room where the box was given. What's in the important box? Well, unfortunately, much like your experience with the traitors at work, Steve, we've had spoilers about what's in the box. But you can imagine the anticipation on the audience seeing this for the first time of thinking, God, what's in the box? It's like a proto-7 in a way.
I was going to say, it's Gwyneth Paltrow's head.
Just it might. Oh, well, spoilers for Seven there.
Oh, yeah. Well, at the end of Seven, there's a tiny little doll that rolls down a board.
Look, this is like the Avengers.
Yeah, look. Like,
And then he just hands him.
Hands the man that
to an old takes man.
Mike
the
Mills
doll.
Is there. Mike Mills is already there holding the
board. And then
he
just rolls it down a sort of a bit of wood. Why? And then so that's weird. It. Why
and then that's the video, isn't it?
Why is that what happens?
That was the finale.
Little mic drop at the end. R.E.M. just says. R.E.M. Lovely. Yeah, yeah. That's what R.E.M. are all about.
Like, why is that the big moment to just take a little weird doll and just sort of roll it down a bit of wood?
Weird, isn't it? This is the video for South Central Rain.
I'm sorry.
It's all right. Now, something interesting about this video. I wonder if you could listen to it really quickly and just tell me what it is.
It's live.
Sort of. Only the vocals are live.
Oh.
It's a backing track, but Michael Stipe, Steve, you're right. They didn't love the idea of music videos, certainly not standard music videos, which this kind of very much is. I like the thing they've got with the screens here, that shadow effect.
Yeah, ripping off Muse from Hullabaloo, though, isn't it?
100%. Yeah. R.E.M. always ripping off Muse. But one thing he would not do, like, he was like, okay, yes, we can just have the video be we're performing in a room, that's fine. I will not lip sync. I just won't do it. So this is the band playing to a backing track and him singing live.
Well, the others were clearly like, we don't want to mime either, so at least mask our miming by putting a big screen in front of us. And then you can't see if we're playing the wrong thing.
When I interviewed him, Don Dixon said he prefers this vocal take to the vocal take that's on the album, which I think is interesting. And he's like watching them record this.
Are we going to watch Falls to Climb?
Pardon?
No, I wouldn't have thought so.
In my recommended, there's just REM Falls to Climb 1999 documentary.
I will watch it so that I can get to grips with all the context of the album it comes out with. But there's an hour-long documentary for every single Warner Brothers album. So I don't think we'll be doing that.
What about, are we going to, it's just because that was in my, my suggests on YouTube. Are we going to watch Kirk Hammett reflect on his career in Metallica?
Now that one, weirdly, we are going to watch.
Okay, yeah. If we're going by recommended, are we going to watch Age of Sigmar Battle Report, High Elves versus Warriors of Chaos?
I don't really want to watch that because 40K is better.
Skip that one. What else have you got?
Well, this is recommended videos based on algorithm, right?
Yeah.
Why have I got cancelled by Woke Mob for liking this book, Mumford & Sons?
Because the YouTube algorithm is always trying to push some right-wing shite on you, no matter
where
you are.
And the thumbnail is why I was kicked out the band, and it's that guy, Winston Marshall, looking a bit concerned.
It was that guy who read that book and was like, actually, they've got some interesting things to say about Antifa and the woke mob. And then instantly Mumford & Sons went, well, you're out. Like, we're big Tory music, but even that's a bit far for us.
Yeah. What about, are we going to watch all of GTA Vice City Flash FM?
I think so.
The whole loop of the radio station. It's only an hour and 3 minutes long. So
do you know what I did watch today while I was typing up some stuff, just for the background? I put on a 4.5 hour long video of someone just walking around Red Dead Redemption 2 at walking
that
pace.
Is big lovely. U energy.
Incredible.
Lovely. Oh, it's our favourite video clip.
We've seen the weird man in
When have
the
we
wind?
Seen this again? When have we seen some of these things? Remind me what we watched. We just watched like that sourced selection of stuff episode, didn't we?
That was on there about twice, I think. Just a man in a hurricane.
Can I ask if we're going to watch REM performs Radio Free Europe?
Oh, loads.
Are we going to watch Manic Street Preachers Glastonbury 2003?
We've already done
Reckoning.
That, Lucas.
That's why it's got a red line at the bottom that's to the end, because it means we've watched it all already.
So this is near Gainesville.
So this is, I've talked to you about this video. It was included in Succumbs. It's exactly 20 minutes long, and it's the video accompaniment to the first side of Reckoning. It's commonly known as Left of Reckoning because the first side is called the Left Side.
That's right.
Left. And it was directed by James Herbert because Michael Stipe was like, I want to do something really arty. I want to do some visual art. And he got the budget from IRS to make this short film, 20 minutes long. It encompasses, I think it's the first six tracks of Reckoning. No, the first five tracks of Reckoning. That's five aside, isn't it? And it's just sort of that garden again, really. So,
yeah. It's well, it's also, it's just very, it looks very Southern Gothic, doesn't it?
It does. They filmed it in like less than 12 frames per second.
Perfect.
Just to kind of, you know.
That's how I like to play my PC games.
Lovely.
I don't have a choice, but that's how I play PC games on this laptop at 12 frames a second.
I think this is actually a special technique where they made, they took certain moments and made stills of them and ran the stills over numerous frames. So it's actually quite like an experimental technique.
Oh, that's interesting.
Which is why it pauses and then starts and then pauses and then starts. Yeah, Harbour Coat's a good song.
It is a good song. This song does or doesn't make it into my top 10 of the sort of this era.
Is that a statement that you could make about all of the songs from this era?
No.
So some of
because,
them
no, because
are
some
in a,
were
like
never,
a liminal state.
Well, no, because some were never even considered.
Right. Okay. Gotcha.
No, left of Reckoning.
Right. Yes. No, left. No. Okay. No,
yeah,
I'm with you.
No. Yeah, yeah.
They do look cool.
Yeah, they
like,
do.
In a they don't look very cool kind of way.
They'd look very cool now, dressed like that.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
It's very in fashion now.
Is
to
the
look
video
like dressed from a charity shop?
Choppy, right? It's not like I've got a bad stream.
It's quite unbelievable that you didn't just hear us talk about all that.
Yeah, that's
it's,
mad.
It's something else.
It's because I was trying, no, it's because I was trying to remember what the name of this song was, and so I had to go on to Reckoning on Spotify and look up
I heard
the name
Adam
of the song.
Say the name of the song. That's how I knew it was Harbour Coat, because Adam said it. Oh, blimey.
I don't think they look cool, personally.
Oh. Oh, are you wrong?
You're wearing a cardigan.
Yeah, I know. So they're not wearing cardigans, so they don't look cool, do they? Because this is obviously okay. What I consider cool, otherwise I wouldn't be wearing it. So
sure.
They are different and thus bad.
I've never considered you as somebody who dresses to look cool. I think you're all about utility and comfort.
If I was all about utility and comfort, I don't think cardigans are that utility, are they?
They're comfort, though.
They're comfort and warmth.
And he certainly wouldn't be wearing those tight leather trousers he's currently wearing.
But like, utility and comfort, I'd be wearing more what Steve's wearing now. Just like nice puller over the top hoodie, very comfortable, warm, delicious. Like pure.
He's got a fashionable hat though, you know.
He has.
Oh, well, this
in that thing. Case, you'll have to take it from us that they look fashionable, I guess.
Yeah. I'm wearing a polo shirt.
They look like most people I see walking around Brighton.
Yeah, that's fair.
This is what Brighton looks like.
None of them are wearing those teeny tiny beanies, though, are they?
No, which is a shame, actually. Michael Stipe doesn't need to yet because he has all that hair. I imagine when he shaves it all off, he starts wearing a few more teeny weeny polka dot beanies.
You've shaved off your beard. And are you having to wear like a face beanie at the moment?
Yes, I
a
do.
Beanie?
Yeah. It's like a half balaclava. It's just from the nose down.
It's just the bottom down.
The anti-Batman. So
it's a woolen beard, basically.
Yeah, it's a woolen beard. Yeah, I don't know why I tried to dress it up
You wear
up
a
as
woolen
cooler.
Beard.
I don't know why I tried to dress it up as something cooler than it was.
Hey, do you know what?
Oh my God, Michael Stipe is smoking.
Oh, that's bad. God.
They can't show that on film these days. Can't do anything these days. Adam, what are you drinking there? It looks like a little whiskey or something.
Not if you want to be in Mumford & Sons. I am. I am drinking a little whiskey, yeah.
Oh, lovely.
Why not? It's a commentary. I like to kick back with the commentaries.
Yeah. But because we're doing a commentary before a main ep, though, you do realise there's a... The end result of the whiskey then follows into the main episode.
Yeah, that'd be awful. That'd be an awful vibe. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
This is why we often do the commentary second, because then we're sharp. But then in the commentaries, we sort of get loose and we all sort of do a line and like, you know, drop a bomb and like, what else do you do? Cook a spoon. Yeah.
Slap a widget.
Drop a tab.
Yeah.
Have a bump. We have a bump, don't we?
Graze a biz. You know, those.
Yeah.
Man, I haven't grazed a biz in a couple of weeks.
Have a snort.
Have a snog.
Have a snog.
Steve, calm down.
To be honest, since you said I'm obsessed with kissing, I've not thought about it before, but I really am, aren't I?
You love kissing.
Yeah. It's weird, isn't it?
One day, Steve, if you dream really hard, you might even get to do it.
Have you seen that thing that someone said, when you kiss someone, you make one long tube from anus to anus?
I mean, it's true.
No? You never thought about that?
Never thought about that.
Think about it next time we kiss. Yeah.
Have you ever thought about when you go anus to anus with someone, you create one long tube from mouth to mouth? Well,
no, I will. Next time I do it.
When someone says about giving someone mouth to mouth, that's what they mean.
Hey, usually I think that...
Hey, it's Mike that manic Mills... bit.
But down, down, down. Usually I think that Mike Mills looks a bit of a dweeb. I think he looks pretty cool.
Yeah, they all look pretty sharp, actually. I mean, this is the year... This is a year or two... I think this is the year after the Radio Free Europe video shoot. So, you know, they've upped their game a little bit. They're a full-time band now, you know?
What do you think the direction was like for this? Go and do some stuff over there. Right, cool. Do some things now over there. Great.
Yeah, it would have been fairly free-flowing, I think. It would have been, like, obviously it's all handheld and everything. There's no shot setups here. It may well have been filmed in the amount of time it's taking us to watch it. I'm not sure. But then the sun's going down, so I don't know. But yeah, it's pretty experimental. I mean, the back of the video says, well, first of all, it bills this as the myth, the monster, the video. So that's pretty cool. That's pretty exciting, isn't it?
Totally taking the piss out of it then, basically.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And they have described it as a heady brew dedicated to the spirit of independent filmmaking. So if you've ever watched any sort of like independent filmmaking from the 80s, especially like art, sort of like visual art stuff, then it looks like this. I mean, like you said earlier, Steve, like REM did not, in general, really care about the music video, and certainly not releasing a collection of them, except for Michael Stipe, who does like the music video, and he likes making visual art, so it was often sort of his domain, you know, a bit like the album artwork. He's kind of in charge of the visual art side of the band, but that's why this tape is called what it is. The title card says REM Succumbs.
That's quite funny.
Yeah, it's quite funny because they've given in to the pressure of releasing a commercial video.
I can tell you what the narrative here is. Did you see them go talk to an old man? And they were probably just them going, can we go in your shed and put a load of business together and hammer some things?
Yeah.
Who's got their sleeves off with the big muscles?
I think that's Stipe, isn't it?
Blimey.
Oh, that's Bill Berry. Sorry.
Of course it is.
Bill Berry. It's big, muscly Bill Berry. It's Big Bill with his big boots. Big Bill Berry's big boots.
Big, muscly Bill.
Well, like
Who are we at this stage that we're at? Obviously, Adam knows, you know, more to come. But at this stage, who do we think's the hardest?
Bill Berry.
Because I think fairly quickly we'd established with Mannix that James Dean Bradfield would batter the rest of them.
It's Peter
and
Buck.
Us.
Yeah. I think Peter Buck would beat the Peter Buck out of me.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You'd be absolutely bucked.
Yeah. He just painted REM on the wall, which is graffiti, and in my world, illegal.
You know, they obviously, what they did was they was just recorded themselves committing a crime. So there's evidence. So, like, I hope they got, done, because it's
that might have been what they were asking the farmer about permission. Yeah. You know?
Maybe there was
permission. Can we paint our band name on your wall and kind of be a band in your... It's like, please, I don't care. Please leave me alone.
Go away. Leave me alone. I've got cows to milk.
They're making wind vanes.
They are.
Was that what they're called? Wind?
Weather vanes.
Weather vanes. Thank you, Adam.
Mm.
If I had a bloody wind vane at the moment with this storm, it'd be bloody... Well, it'd probably fallen over because it's... It's probably fallen because it's...
Did your bin
windy.
Fall over?
No.
One weekend or something, do you want to get together and, like, take the sleeves off of our shirts and build, like, a few like weather vanes and stuff.
Yeah.
Doesn't this look like a good old time?
Yeah, actually, yeah. With like a nice dog.
Yeah.
Oh, look at if there's a nice dog, I'm up for it. I'll do it. To be honest, I'll do anything if there's a nice dog there.
I'll be honest, I'll do anything.
If you said to me, let's go and like do some killing,
Yeah.
I'd be like, I'm not really, I'll be honest, I'm not really
Lucas,
on
there's
board
a
with
nice
that.
Dog.
And then
there,
you go,
though.
There's a lovely dog. I go, oh, I'll get me a knife. I'll bring it along.
He did. The other guy did not specify knife. Lucas just wants to make it personal. Okay. He likes to get real
well,
close.
I presume the dog will be the primary method of killing.
Right, okay.
The nice dog.
Chihuahua.
Nice little XL bully. That's a little reference there towards the XL bully dog that recently got banned.
So imagine banning a dog.
Well,
it's weird, isn't it?
They did. They've done it to a number of dogs, in fact.
No, it's just odd for me. It's just odd to me.
You say it's odd, but you didn't think about it. I bet you don't think it's odd that you're not allowed to have a tiger.
So, I do think that's weird.
There is precedent that like we're not just allowed to have animals.
No, you've lost. I do think. I do
without
think
impunity think. Or with impunity. I don't know.
I think you should be able to have a tiger.
And so it's
if
just sort of
prove
an extension.
You can look
of
after it. Then I think it's fine.
Well,
you
that
feed
mean
it every day.
How do you prove? How do you? How would you prove that?
Like if I own a zoo or something.
Yeah.
If they came around my house and I owned a zoo, they probably be right.
There's a good film
if
about
I,
that.
You know. Is it called We Own a Zoo?
Have you ever seen Let's Build a Zoo? We Let's Own a Zoo?
We
Let's
Bought a Zoo.
Buy a Zoo? We Bought a Zoo.
Let's Fly a Kite?
Yeah. Up to the highest height? How do you ban a dog? Do you think they'll go into zoos? Do you think there'll be a XL bully enclosure? What's,
well, they're not
what
like banned in the sense that like...
Don't
you
tell
can't,
me that... What do they do with the dogs?
No, you
are
just...
Are they going around and putting them down or...?
No. Yeah. You, I mean, that's what the bloody XL bully owners would have you think.
Yeah.
You have to make sure if you're out in public, you have to have a license, pay a fee, get it neutered, and
Steve Murphy, licensed dog.
And have it
oh,
muzzled.
No, that sounds,
if you're
that
out.
Sounds wrong.
Have it on a lead and muzzled if you're in public.
Steve Murphy, Tesco Car Parks. you'd have to. But you'd have to bully me to use XL because I'm not very good at XL. Any good? Is that any good?
It's not great.
I didn't
I'm trying
really get
some stuff out.
What's
today.
XL that you're not very good at?
The spreadsheets, I
the
guess.
Spreadsheets, yeah.
Oh, fair enough, yeah.
Oh, he's like, oh, it's quite good.
Oh,
actually,
no, yeah, no.
These videos aren't very HD, are they? Like, I could do with a bit of like 4K, a bit of HDR.
What are they?
They're, a bit,
they're released
they're a bit,
on.
It's 40, yeah,
they're a bit
480,
low res, aren't okay, they? Yeah.
I might
I'm
put that down a bit.
I'm watching 360.
I'm going to put mine down to 144, actually.
What is the resolution of a VHS?
Well, it's not P. It's interlaced, isn't it? It'll be an interlaced format.
And what's and that
I think,
mean?
I think PAL will be 480i and NTSC will be 360i, won't it?
I don't know.
Ooh, it's the horizontal resolution is 240 lines per picture height.
Oh, so it's 240.
Yeah. Blimey. Yeah. There you go. It's interesting.
Imagine without all the steps in between, just showing like you when you're like eight or whatever, and you're watching a VHS of Mrs. Doubtfire on a 4:3 TV that's not very big, like a big CRT, and then just immediate switch to you're watching a 4K HDR like
60 frames print, second
print no print of like I don't know an Attenborough documentary or something, one of those things that looks particularly good, and just the sudden contrast, it would be you blow your brains out. I reckon
I remember just
you'd
going
lose
into
your mind.
A shop, a Curry's if you will, and seeing like HD for the first time and blowing my mind.
And how was Hector?
Now let's try and pull that one apart.
Hector Deakins.
That's bizarre.
You
went
to go see him at a Curry's.
That's bizarre.
What? I reckon it's something.
Who's that?
HD.
What is happening?
Oh, there's a nice good boy.
There's a good boy. Yeah, I was about to say.
The good
have
boy?
They gone back to get some more weather vanes?
They just stayed at the farm overnight, didn't they? We got loads of really nice, like, night footage. Oh, that was interesting. It scanned across the still while it was still. I wonder how they did that.
Do you think the old man is a relative?
No. He's a local artist. Oh, he's the, like, oh, sculpture, okay, garden, okay, type thing.
No, that's no, that's Duncan. Or whatever his name was. Hector. What did I say his name was again?
I don't know. I just sort of cheated it out, really.
I just assumed we were on a farm and they'd come away from the... Yep, I assumed that we were all recording on a farm. We bought a farm.
Yeah. That's the sequel, isn't it?
I thought they went to the place. They decided
the zoo was a bit too much. We'll just do the step down from that. It's a farm. We bought a farm. We bought a zoo, and in the sequel, we just downgraded to a farm because we thought that would be more manageable.
The zoo was
probably
too silly.
More profitable. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is a silly zoo.
Yeah.
The thing I like about this is that it's clearly just by the side of the road. There's like a gas station across from it and stuff. It's like one of those, it's like a roadside attraction kind of thing.
I see what you mean, where you get a big sign like saying Sculpture Park, you know, 100 miles.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then you just like going on
the world's biggest
and...
peanut. The world's biggest peanut, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like going along, you know, a motorway and seeing the Pencil Museum. It's on a brown sign.
Right, here, exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It looks like a nice weekend, to be honest with you.
Going it's mainly out, the same sculptures.
Yeah, it's not a big sculpture park. Yeah,
well, it's one place, isn't it? So, man, there's only so much they can get, you know, from that location. So, yeah, I imagine there's a lot of repeat sort of background elements.
Yeah, for sure. What do you think of it? It's an interesting piece, isn't it?
Yeah,
it's very music video.
It's very but it's also photography. I don't know how to put it.
College photography.
Yeah, I guess so.
We're in an era where a lot of music videos would have been they bands playing in a room, or they would have been very glossy, kind of expensive narrative pieces. And this is neither of those things. But then obviously MTV didn't ever play the whole thing. It's 20 minutes long. They just sort of, I think they played just the Pretty Persuasion section of it, or something like that. It's directed by James Herbert. I should tell you that Radio Free Europe video was directed by Arthur Pearson, and the South Central Rain video was directed by Howard Leibov. Are you happy about that? Or
I'm furious.
I'm livid. Wow. I thought we'd heard the last of Arthur.
Do you have the cast list for the Radio Free Europe video? I want to know who played Doll 1.
No, I don't.
I want to know who played Man.
That was Michael Stipe.
Yep.
Do we have we officially the What Is Music logo is that called Man?
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
It's just called Man.
Man.
Just Man. Something like that. Yeah. I'm happy for a better name if anyone's got one.
Ermintrude.
It'd be great to make it gender neutral. Although
Ashley.
The Bloge. Intention was not to make it gender. The intention was to make it man, as in human being.
Human.
Yeah, human.
Human.
Well, let's go with the gender neutral name then. Ashley, Jamie,
Dave.
Dave is a good gender neutral name. Yeah. If anyone's having a daughter coming up, they were Dave.
Yeah.
go on. Actually, go on. They were Dave.
Prudence.
Yeah.
Prudence.
You reckon?
Well,
that was left of Reckoning, and we're going to just go up in sort of budget and sort of recognisably a music video in a couple of seconds. Although, interestingly, the next music video for Can't Get There From Here was directed by Michael Stipe and Aguar Video Productions. So there you go. Stipe just having a little bit more sort of say. What album is Can't Get There From Here? It's Fables.
Fables,
yeah.
Can't Get There Here.
Yeah, that's the one, yeah. It's a different vibe to Left of Reckoning. Let's put it that way. We'll put it that way.
But Steve, we're still in Left of Reckoning, right?
This is Left of Reckoning.
Because this is the same. Okay, good. Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah.
I mean,
sorry, I was preparing you for the next video.
I don't know this if I'm is prepared.
It comes for you whether you are prepared or not, Steve.
I'd love if it was so glossy and there was just loads of babes. And like we're like playing in a we're loads
oh,
of
there
fire.
Is. Look at this absolute babe.
That's a horse. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a running horse. I'm not actually sure why that's there. I don't think it's part of either video.
They're just running through the That was odd. That was...
Oh, it really is different, isn't it?
Now they're driving through the city.
But he wasn't even holding a real steering wheel. He was just pretending.
He just pretended he's holding the steering
power
wheel.
Power of theatre.
Don't know who that is.
Like the guy from the beginning, wasn't it? What's his name? He was on the right with Peter Buck was on the left. What was his name?
Oh, Jefferson. Jefferson Hall, like their manager. Him. Yeah, it might be him. Yeah, you're right. Lyrics on the screen as well, which is an interesting decision helpful for them, I think.
So, what's the bass?
What's up, Steve?
Well, okay, I'm just going to explain what I've seen so far. Them running over some hay and jumping into the hay, and then sort of driving with neon lights.
They're spitting
and
popcorn each other's face. Disgusting.
Yeah. They're at a drive-in, aren't they?
Okay. Well, now that
he's sat on something, I don't know. Now he's waving at himself.
Himself, yeah. I don't... Okay. Yeah, okay.
Hang on, where is Stipe's...
Stripe.
...hair? Under that hat, there doesn't look to be a lot of hair.
Well, it wasn't long for Fables, was it? Remember, it was short and like, bleached blonde.
Yeah, I guess so. It's hideable
boiled
under
peanuts.
A hat, I guess.
Boiled
peanuts. Oh, yeah, it looks like a fun jump. That's exactly the sort of thing that if I walked past, I'd jump over it.
Do you know what I nearly made us watch as a joke?
What? The making of this video.
Yeah, the making of this video. Because it's like an hour long and it's just shots of like signs and stuff from around the country. You know, when they're showing signs like that, they filmed like an hour's worth of that footage and you can just watch it. You could just watch that on YouTube if you want, guys.
That's bizarre. These silhouettes are wacky, aren't they?
Birds,
really,
some pelicans.
You said about birds. Oh, no, you said babes, didn't you?
Yeah, babes. Do you know what's really strange? When I think of Fables of the Reconstruction, I don't think of the vibe of this video with everyone having fun and it being very colourful. You know,
that is them covered in mud,
smearing themselves in mud. Yeah, that might be the vibe.
Dirt of the Seven.
Kiss the ground. And horses and hay. Yes.
Mr. Shadowine Hypnotize.
Still doesn't hugely feel like a standard music video, you know?
It's still sort of experimental, isn't it?
It's full of non sequiturs. There's no narrative. The band are not playing anything, you know?
Yeah. He's in the boot.
Why not?
I think
I'm learning some of these lyrics for the first time.
This song is or isn't in my top 10.
Wow.
Oh, there's the eagle-headed silhouettes. Yeah. Of course. We saw a bit of these for the promo for Fables of the Reconstruction. I think we saw this section, actually.
Yeah, it does ring a bell now, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what that is.
I don't... Okay.
Something, isn't it? But the drive-in was abandoned the whole time, guys. Oh, my God.
The real drive-thru is in their hearts.
Exactly. Yeah. The next one is directed by the same person as Left of Reckoning. It's the music video for Driver 8. But first, it comes with a little monologue from Michael Stipe about trains. Can you guess what the music video for Driver 8 mostly focuses on?
Trains.
Yeah, I think you've got it in one, basically. Yeah.
Oh.
That's Michael Stipe talking about how much he loves trains, I suppose.
I mean, trains are all right, aren't they? They're quite
cool. Wonderful.
I feel like there's a version of me out there in there's a multiverse version of me that's not too many dimensions over from here that is a train spotter.
You're like TikTok guy who kind of goes crazy at trains.
Francis Bourgeois.
I saw him getting excited about a train. In real life.
Wow.
Did he also refuse to support the strikes?
Yeah.
Everything has to be a beef.
Yeah. When I saw him, he was also refusing to support the strikes.
Yeah, I just remember seeing a lot of stuff of people being like, support the strikes, and he just didn't.
Well, no, because that would mean he'd see less trains.
Now that's interesting.
And he really likes them. So, like, why would he?
I imagine it would have also jeopardized his deal with Gucci or whatever company it was that he models for now. Yeah.
He also went on stage with Sam Fender on a micro scooter.
Sure, why not? Look, you've got to make the most of your niche micro celebrity status while you can.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
That's true.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah.
I did pretty well on The Weakest Link.
You did Weakest Link. Adam got a Prada deal.
Yeah, yeah. And didn't you go on Golden Balls?
I went on Golden Balls immediately out, didn't air it.
I get the feeling Adam got the best deal. I think Adam got the best deal there, personally. I went on The Weakest Thing, you went on Golden Balls, and Adam got a Prada deal.
Yeah, there was no element Prada of chance deal to mine. I didn't have to play a game.
No. Yeah. Well, and obviously in the TV advert, you got to just sort of like hang out with like Penelope Cruz, which was obviously
nice. And
Rihanna.
Nice. Yeah, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, yeah, hanging out with Penelope and Rihanna, and you were sort of in sand. You were in like a giant hourglass, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, no, that's they right were in the giant hourglass. He obviously smashes the hourglass.
Of course, yeah. To free them. Very much like, you know, like the sexy bit in Aladdin.
Yeah.
It was, yeah. It was. You're right.
The
sexy
yeah
bit in Aladdin.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
the
yeah
Never Had a Friend Like Me song.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, when he turns into a green ghoul.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When he says he can't bring people back from dead for the dead.
That's
yeah, yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, I love this bridge. Look at these trains. And look at them standing.
Look at that building.
Lovingly around the trains.
Yeah. Here's some trains. Here's us some REM. What's the best? Here's some REM looking at trains.
What's the best train you've ever been on?
Steam train, the Bluebell Railway was great.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mine is probably the Amtrak train that went from Montana to Chicago.
Oh,
we spent
lovely
like 36 hours on it, and it had those seats that turned sideways to a completely glass wall that went over the top of you as well. And we just looked out and watched all the buffalo roaming over the plains. And
that is actually legitimately really cool. That's great,
incredible,
fucking great. Yeah, it was great. Yeah.
I wouldn't call it. It's not a bullet train, but a fast train in Japan.
Oh yeah,
sure.
That was quite good.
Yeah, efficient. I've heard they're super efficient.
Oh yeah, they're like. Sorry, the train is late. 29 seconds later, it turns up. Like, apologies for the late train.
Oh, they love those trains.
Yeah, they're sort of looking at trains, and then behind them they've got a projection of trains. Hey, driver rate's good, isn't it?
It may or may not appear in my top 10.
Yeah.
Oh.
It mayn't.
Actually, there's a bunch of these songs that may or may not appear in my top 10. Let me tell you that.
I don't want to spoil it, but my top 10 has changed since we've been doing this episode.
Okay, great. Wow. Did you remember that Can't Get There?
No.
Oh, Harbour Coat, maybe.
No,
I think I remember.
Drive Right.
Nope.
Drive Right.
Nope.
Oh, it's Radio Free Europe, yeah.
Yeah, he loves it. He loves it.
Familiarity.
He's heard it
so many
times now. Yeah.
Yeah. Stockholm Syndrome.
Why have I just received an invoice from Apple? What is this?
Will you figure that out?
I know, it's fine. It's fine. It's an expected cost. I've got family sharing on with Hannah. Because it means we share like iCloud storage. But the side effect of that is she's forced to use my payment. Anytime she buys anything on Apple, I get charged for it. And she can't change that setting unless she's like drops out of the family plan, which then loses her. And so occasionally I'll just get a little, you've just been charged 99p because Hannah's bought some coins on like a game. And I've just been like, oh, all right, cheers. For like Angry Birds Berry Blast.
She's microtransactioning.
She loves a microtransaction. She loves buying 99p's worth of coins.
So these next two videos, this one and the next one, directed by the same people, Jackie Slayton and James Herbert, who directed Driver 8 and Left of Reckoning, they're exclusive to the video. I think they ended up on the When the Light Is Mine DVD that they did like a couple of decades later.
Stick on the DVD.
Yeah, they did like a Best of the IRS Years in like 2006, and it came with a DVD. Or the DVD was released separately. I'm looking at it right now, and I think they're on there. But it's live footage, and this is Life and How to Live It. And the next one is Feeling Gravity's Pull. But it's the same, obviously, if you want that technique where it stop and starts and it, you know, freezes.
Yeah, yeah.
Get James Herbert in. That's his speciality, it seems.
It does look like it's just buffering badly, doesn't it?
Yeah, but that wouldn't have been part of the language back then, right? You would
In
know
the 80s,
that that was
like,
a technique.
Yeah. This is like bad internet. And someone would go, What's the internet?
What?
What are you doing here? So, do we know the gig? This gig they were playing a gig.
No.
Do we know this one?
I imagine it's from multiple. I don't think it's one performance of anything. I couldn't even definitely tell you that they're playing this song. You know,
for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because of the one frame a second.
I think this looks so cool. I'm gonna try and recreate this. Actually,
what for?
I don't know. Fucking music. No,
I don't mean. I'm not like questioning why you do it when I say what for.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, literally,
because it looks fun. I don't know. Yeah, sometimes exactly, the fun is just the process.
But what for?
How are you going to monetize this? Okay.
Yeah.
How are you going to make money?
How are we
going to
make passive
thing,
income,
you know,
with this?
Yeah. How are you going to make sure that most people see this? Bearing in mind the algorithm these days, I just do it. Just make art. Just do it. It doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who sees it. As long as you're happy with it, that's the point of it, isn't it?
Do you think Michael Stipe brings back the top hat?
I reckon he's wearing it literally right now.
Did we see that in that commentary? Because it might be from this, right?
It's unlikely. Because this is the... I imagine this is still from the fables of the Reconstruction tour.
Mm.
And you're talking about the Life's Rich pageant tour.
Yeah, I am, yeah.
Yeah.
That is a look from Bill Berry.
Yeah. And they, again, all look like I could see them on my street.
Yes.
That is like, fashion is so cyclical.
He did look like he was in the Come On Eileen video, though. I think he had a waistcoat with no shirt and one of those hats. Yeah.
One of those hats.
One of those.
Yeah. It's what... Oh, he's got one of those hats.
Oh, no.
Oh. Jan?
Oh. Yeah?
He's got one of those hats.
Oh, he hasn't.
No.
He hasn't.
You know, they say, like, we obviously say fashion's cyclical and all that.
Like technology,
they say,
yeah.
They say the 30-year cycle, although I think actually it's accelerated slightly. But roughly, you know. That makes me hope that by the time my kid is old enough that he's, you know, choosing his own clothes and having fashion choices, that it's the exact clothes that I was wearing at that age.
He's going to be slightly out of it, I think, because that's
be slightly
now.
Out of it, won't...
Yeah.
Well, it's not now, because now isn't the clothes I was wearing when I was 18. Now is the 90s.
100% is. No.
Yeah, it's the 90s and the early noughties.
Yeah, but
a
you,
bit.
Live
early
in,
noughties
you live
are
in
creeping
the fucking,
in.
You live in the fucking suburbs and shit. Around here, everyone looks like a fucking new metal skater. Everyone's baggy jeans and chains hanging off them. It's mad.
Wait, do you mean... So when they're old enough to... choosing their own clothes, you want them to be wearing the same clothes that you're wearing in the future?
No, Steve.
Or the ones you're wearing
the clothes
now.
I wore so that they
oh,
can
the
also
when
wear,
you were a child that
you know a studded
age.
Belt.
Yes, you're right.
Lucas
now,
has kept
now.
All of the clothes he had when he was 16 and 17 and he's hoping he'll be able to reuse them on his son so he doesn't have to buy any clothes.
It'll be a lot cheaper. Honestly, it'll be a lot cheaper. And I just hope he gets into the same bands as well because I've got t-shirts
be, yeah,
of,
exactly.
You know, Bullet for My Valentine and an Alkaline Trio and, you know, Fight Star.
I mean, it's almost a given that he'll be into Fight Star, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine why he wouldn't be. Feeling Gravity's Pull. How are you feeling about this song these days, guys?
I think I'd like Fables of the Reconstruction if I go back to it.
You just did go back to it.
Yeah, you just went back to it.
Yeah.
Oh, he was trying. He was trying to maintain the illusion.
Yeah.
Oh, so what he's actually doing is giving us a little hint.
Giving us a little sneaky surprise.
I'll put it this
spoilers.
Way. This I'll put it this way. When I with other ones, I've said this may or may not be in my top 10.
Mm.
Doesn't apply here.
You didn't consider it. Well, that little chord change is good.
That's beautiful, man. And then the way they use the strings on this song is so cool. It's interesting to me how it does kind of stand apart. You can kind of go like, oh, that's from that album. That's from
it
that
is,
third
then,
album, you know?
Yeah, but then, this one does. But then you had Drive for Eight and can't get there from here.
I'm just talking about like this song. Album. Yeah. Like, you could not put this song... you could put this song on Document, and that's the only other one that it would go on.
Yeah, fair. That makes
you
sense.
Couldn't put it on Murmur, Reckoning, or Life's Rich Pageant.
Yeah, and it would have to go on the second half of Document.
Yes, it would. Yeah. Which wouldn't work, because this has to open an album. Like,
does
it's
got
to be an opener. Yeah, it's got to be an opener.
Such a vibe, isn't it?
Yeah. This is like opening with everything in its right place. You can't not open with everything in its right place.
So open the album. Oh, good album.
Well, Kid A. Yeah.
Kid A? Oh, wow.
Who's that? Is that someone we're going to cover?
Yeah. It's
Kid A.
I've
never heard of
him. Daniels.
I've never heard of Kid A.
Whatever you said
A.
earlier. Deacon.
Oh, Lucas, we were talking about gender-neutral names for your newborn.
Deacon.
Kid A.
Oh, just Kid A. Well, just like,
why not?
Kid A. Kid A. Yep. Second
and
one,
and a lovely
Kid
little Radiohead tribute.
Wait, Kid
what,
2. Kid
what
2's
happens,
the second one.
What happens when it's no longer a kid? Do I then call it like Adolescent A?
It'll always be your kid.
Teenager A.
I think once they're 16, they can choose their own name.
I don't know if they are always your kid.
What's that?
I don't know.
Always your children.
Always... Yeah, children. That's not the same as your kid, though, is it? I think.
But that's bizarre.
Children
isn't it?
To be someone's child is a very official term. Just like being someone's father is a very official term.
Children
kid,
means young.
Kid
person,
implies,
doesn't it?
Well, no, it's not. Your son. Child
and I,
just
and
means
I'd use
like
kid interchangeably with.
Well, no,
children.
Child means the can also just mean like the person that you. They are your spawn. Doesn't necessarily.
Mean I'll tell you. Young I'll tell adult, you right now that they person. Mean exactly the same thing. But kid is informal and child is formal.
Yeah, and I think the informalness is what makes it young. You know.
Okay.
Well, okay. Put it this way. When you're 40, your father isn't your daddy anymore, is he? But when you're three,
but you are.
But when you're three, he's your daddy, isn't he?
I still call him daddy. I say, hello, daddy. Credit card, please, daddy.
Credit card, daddy. Money me.
That was horrible. Did we talk about that on this?
I don't
absolutely
think so.
Gross asking Lucas for the joint card.
Daddy, can you have some money?
Can you
I
have
want
some Twinkies,
some money?
Please, daddy? Oh, it makes me feel so ill. I still think that, like, an adult with adult kids. There you go. I've just said adult kids. They would say that my kids are coming to this wedding. And they
do
mean
you know what? Adult children sounds younger than adult kids. I don't think I'd ever say adult children because it's two completely opposed things. Yeah. Right.
And also
you know
Han
what?
Solo calls
let's
people kids.
Let's circle back to this in like 25 years.
Okay.
Yeah. When we're doing
the reunion tour.
Yeah.
And me and Steve can think about how we refer to our children at that point.
All right. Okay. That sounds good. Hey, this is the video for Fall on Me, directed by Michael Stipe. Now,
good
this was played
song
endlessly on MTV. People loved the shit out of this video because it just didn't look like anything else.
This may or may not be in my top 10.
Yeah. Spoilers, it's in mine.
Yeah, it's also in mine, yeah.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Oh, also, guys, yeah. Also, spoilers, it's not in mine.
Wow.
Oh,
Kel
wow.
Surprise.
Is that next week?
Yeah, it is. Oh. I think this looks really cool. It's just, it's a quarry, but it's all upside down, and the top and bottom are yellow, and the lyrics are on the screen. That's it. But I think it looks great. Do you know what else has occurred to me? All the Left of Reckoning stuff... This specifically, doesn't this all seem very Radiohead?
Yes, it does. This does right now, 100%.
Yeah, this is very Radiohead.
Yeah.
And all of the way that Radiohead use their visual art, again, led by the lead singer, in the same way this was led by Michael Stipe, all of that stuff was led by Tom York. You can see the REM influence on Radiohead.
There. Yeah.
Radiohead would put out a video like this today, you know?
If you had this interspersed with some, like, behind-the-scenes footage of them touring looking fucking miserable...
Yeah.
Then you've got Meeting People as easy.
Yeah, or you, yeah, or the most gigantic lion mouth of all time, or yeah. any of that stuff. Yeah. Thing is we did. Do you remember when we watched the most gigantic lion mouth of all time, and it had little interstitials of two cartoon characters talking to each other, or just words flashing up on the screen? That little run of the horse thing, REM were doing that like decades before Radiohead were doing that. Yeah,
just rip-offs, aren't they?
Just rip-offs, man.
Everyone's ripping just off everyone.
Everyone's ripping off everyone. When it all boils down to it, who's the only original artist? I guess it's Mozart, right?
Cavemen, isn't it? Anyway, that's
Ugh. Oh, well, no, but I've just... Mine's automatically started playing REM 9th of June 1984 Capitol Theatre.
Same. Yeah, yeah.
We've already done a commentary for that.
Yeah.
Well, you guys are welcome to
strap
carry
in.
On.
Three,
Shall I just play the next one then on my list?
What's that one?
It's apparently Batman All Movies Reviewed Part 2.
Okay.
Reviewed by who?
The Cosmonaut Variety Hour.
Is that something you've watched in the past? Or?
I must have watched part one at some point.
Why don't we watch Phil Collins' Serious Hits... live?
Yeah. How about The Strokes' Reading? REM came on the radio in my office today, and I was like, "Oh, is this REM?" And someone went, "Yeah, it's REM." Because
you're
not
like, "Oh my god,
it's not a song we've covered yet." Oh. And I was like, "Oh, it's a song I've never heard before." And then I realised it was Man on the Moon.
A song that literally everybody on the planet Earth has heard. Yeah, fair enough.
But weirdly, not the moon.
Oh. Well, I don't necessarily believe that there was ever anybody on the moon.
Mm.
Do you believe they put a man on the moon?
It's not that I don't believe they put a man on the moon. It's that I don't believe there is a moon.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I don't want to go into
not
this
again.
Weird.
Okay, yeah.
What did we think of all of that, guys?
That was a very interesting way of summing up at the end, that it's so what Radiohead were doing. That is very...
And Lucas, you didn't get on with the visual side of Radiohead 100% of the time, so what did you make of that?
Of course he fucking loves this.
That was just... It was fine. It was arbitrary.
Faffy bollocks, wasn't it?
I'll tell you what, I will never think about that ever again. And one day you'll go... do you remember that the episode where we covered the alert, and I'll go, what episode was that?
Right, okay, cool.
Did you do art, film and video?
I did not do art, film and video.
You did film studies, right?
Okay. Nope, didn't do film studies either.
Oh.
You did at university.
You did film.
I did film and television production at university.
Ha-ha.
Initially called video production, and then they renamed the course whilst I was on it.
I just wondered if there was an art element behind that where you were filming faffy bollocks, and maybe like that's just completely...
The faffiest bollocks I ever did was... I didn't really ever do anything that was sort of faffy bollocks, to be honest. Even in college, did I ever do any faffy bollocks in college? No, I don't think I've ever done any faffy bollocks.
Unless it was a strain of weed.
Oh, yeah, man.
Called faffy bollocks, and we did that.
Token dat. Joint.
Yeah. Skinning up a big one with my
pals. Lighting up a bifter.
Getting real silly and stoned.
Does a bifter specifically refer to a fat joint?
Yeah, it's a big fuck off joint. Yeah.
It's got to be big. It's got to be big. It can't be like nicely rolled and sort of thin and like well put together. It's got to be like a big ugly fat fucker that's not very well rolled and it could fall apart any minute.
It's also a company that does bins, isn't it?
Spiffer.
Huh. Bifter bins.
Anyway, look, we'll leave it there.
Biffa Clyra. Is that something? Biffa Clyra?
Quick, Adam.
Do you know what Biffa Clyra are named after?
Bins.
I saw this on TikTok the other day. Yeah. No, not a lighter. A pen. There was a pen... No, because I knew it was an inanimate object, and I thought you just knew, and you threw me off. It was they had in their studio a pen, just a biro pen that had a picture of Cliff Richard on it, and they
Cliffy
called it. And they called it the Cliffy biro, and they just decided, well, let's just call ourselves Biffy Clyro, and that's the name of the band forever.
That's the only thing I've ever heard from or about the band that I've enjoyed.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm going to pick them for the ultimate playlist. To
about the band you've enjoyed. Is that what you meant? The only thing you've heard about the band you've enjoyed? Biffy Clyro. So you'd enjoy them.
Oh, the only thing he's ever heard about the band he enjoys.
Yeah. Depends where we put in the comma, right?
Yeah, it depends where the emphasis
Cliffy
goes.
Biro, do the outro.
I'm going to dedicate the episode to Ben Goff. And it might be Ben Go, but it's G-O-U-G-H.
But it could, wait, that means it could be Ben Gog.
It could be. It could be. But Ben, this episode is yours.
Legend.
Congratulations, I suppose. Well done.
Thank you. Thank you, Ben.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you subscribed to the biggest mates tier on our Patreon, which means you get an episode dedicated to you. And yours is this one. You are fucking welcome, my guy. While we're talking about listeners, should we have a little email?
Yes, please.
Okay, we're going to hear from Mike Sweeney and listen to the subject of this email.
Strapping in.
Might surprise you.
Okay.
How I got into REM. We've got some REM emails to be getting stuck into. Like 6 months into the season because we record so far in advance. Here we go. Mike Sweeney says, "Hi guys."
That's us,
isn't it?
Yeah.
I became aware of REM as probably most people did with Losing My Religion in 1991 on the radio. I was finishing high school and starting college that year when Automatic for the People came out. Although Mike here, because he's obviously one of the fans, has just put AFTPA. Yeah? So yeah, he knows what it is. He knows what it's about. Again, it was only on the radio that I listened to them. I bought my first REM record, Out of Time, in Prague from a street vendor while backpacking around Europe in August 1994. I fell instantly in love with the record. That November, I started my first career job. The two guys I worked with were into REM, and one of them started to make copies of his tapes for me. I couldn't afford to buy records back then. I'd get one album every few weeks, copied, and loved each one. One day, a few months later, I had listened to about four of their albums at that stage, my colleague handed me a copy of Fables of the Reconstruction and said, "If you like this album, you're a true REM fan." Excited and also feeling nervous as I wanted to be a true REM fan. Yeah. I went home that evening and started to play it. When the first three chords of Feeling Gravity Pull started, I thought, oh my God, what is this? I both loved and hated those first few seconds, if that makes sense. That song literally dragged me in and I was absolutely mesmerized. Once Wendell G finished, I felt like I'd become a member of some fantastic family. I absolutely loved the album. I was a true REM fan, and every album they've released, I've loved. And that was my introduction to the greatest band on the planet. Cheers, Mike. Well, thank you, Mike. This podcast has maybe been slightly devoid of what I would call Fables of the Reconstruction love, because none of us loved it on first listen. It was probably, you know, one of the more negative episodes we've done so far. So it's interesting to hear someone who just got it on first listen, because there's loads of people out there whose favorite REM album is Fables of the Reconstruction, and that's cool. I love it. I love it when it hits certain people in a certain way. It's a bit like Mannix and Postcards from a Young Man. You know, some people fucking love that record. Some people don't so much, and that's absolutely fine. That brings us to the end of another episode. Thank you very much, everybody, for listening. Our next episode is out next Monday, and we are going to pause and take stock of what we have learned about REM so far. We're going to rank the albums. We're going to pick out our favourite songs and maybe reassess some stuff. So come and join us for that. But before you do, come and let us know what you think of Succumbs by REM. Come and tell us everything, because this show works best when it is in direct conversation with all of its listeners, and that's you. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at What Is Music Pod, TikTok at What Is Music. I've got to start putting stuff on the TikTok, guys. I've got to. Or if you want to send in something a little bit longer and maybe have us read it out on the show, you can email us whatismusicpod@gmail.com. And if you liked what you heard here and thought, God, I'd love to hear more of that and have a commentary episode dedicated to me, head over to our Patreon page. All kinds of extra podcast shows. There's one where we are revisiting Manic Street Preachers. Not bad. One where we explore all kinds of different artists, genre and eros to make themed playlists, bonus commentaries, music discussion episodes, ad-free episodes of this show, and a genuinely amazing Discord community. You can head to patreon.com/whatismusicpod or follow the link in the show notes for up to two podcast episodes every single week. There are also other ways that you can support us if you'd like to. You could buy some of our merchandise over at whatismusicpod.redbubble.com. Send us a little one-off donation over on ko-fi.com, which is ko-fi.com/whatismusic. But the best way to support us, however, is to do what you're doing right now, which is listening to us. And you can rate the show, subscribe to the show, share it with your friends, all of that stuff the podcast asks you to do. That about does it. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next week. But for now, it's the end of the episode as we know it. And I feel like succumbing.
I feel frisky.